heard on non-agenda items, the following guidelines apply. The speaker states his or her name for the record. The speaker is limited to 3 minutes per meeting. The speaker is limited to non-agenda items. Agenda items will be open for public comment as they appear on the agenda. The speaker's comments should be appropriate for all audiences, including school-aged children. The speaker is limited to comments of a general nature, positive or negative, which may not be attributable to any specific individual. Issues involving concerns specific to any single individual should be submitted in writing and given to the board clerk to be resolved. The issue may be determined to be appropriate for persons to be heard, or may be handled in executive session, or may be routed through a more appropriate complaint process. No disturbance or willful interruption of any board meeting shall be permitted. Persistence by an individual or group shall be grounds for the chair to terminate the privilege of addressing the meeting. The board may remove disruptive individuals and order the room cleared if necessary. This is not a question and answer time. Speakers may be referred to the superintendent or designee, or the board may take the issue under advisement. There's a maximum of 1 hour per meeting. The first person on the sign-up list is Julia Safarik.
Hi, my name is Julia Safarik. I'm a junior at Palmer High School, and I'm here tonight with my classmates to speak to the decreasing budget. The decrease in funding from the Matsu Borough Assembly means that the MSD will be underfunded by 0.2 mils for the 2018-2019 school year. I can't speak for other schools, which I know these cuts will also affect, but Palmer High School will be losing several teachers due to these cuts. I realize that due to budget cuts, the student-to-teacher ratio is growing to 33 to 1. I understand that the budget is a big factor in this, but this increasing ratio is a huge hint as to how many teachers the district will be losing. This fact is saddening, as I personally have come to know and love my teachers. I would like to believe that the rest of the students feel the same way. Last year, Palmer High School lost 4 teachers. This trend will be continuing into this year, as the school is losing 3 teachers. The decrease in teachers is detrimental to students, as this leads to bigger class sizes. Bigger class sizes mean that the students inevitably don't get the help they need and consequently fall behind. In addition to this, the district spends money on training for teachers so that they can form relationships with us and us with them. Taking these teachers out of the schools where they have created these relationships will have a negative effect on said relationships. In addition to this, investing money in this training for teachers only not to use it is bad in terms of investment. As an example of a student-teacher relationship that is being lost at Palmer High, one is our NHS advisor. The members of NHS, both current and past, have formed a relationship with this teacher that will no longer exist due to them being cut. Another teacher that is being cut is one of our track coaches. I personally have formed a relationship with this teacher because they're an easy person to talk to, and I will miss this person immensely. I can't even imagine what the track athletes must be feeling right now. I recognize that the budget cuts are affecting the whole district, and that this means that teachers are being cut district-wide. But I also see that the district has made an investment into every single one of its teachers, investments that are simply being wasted by laying off said teachers. My hope is that you would take all of this into consideration, as well as the well-being of the students in this district, when you decide how to allocate funds for the upcoming school year. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Next on the list is Ben Lagis.
Hello, my name is Benjamin Lagis, and I'm a junior at Palmer High School. Me and my fellow student, Julia Safarik, are here today to address the descending budget in our district. The decrease in budget means that MSBSD will be underfunded by 0.2 mils. Though I am, of course, unable to speak for other schools in our district, I can, however, speak for Palmer High, which will be severely affected by these cuts. Palmer High will be losing 3 educators this year. Sadly, that really isn't uncommon. Last year, we lost 4 of our educators, with several more put on notice. My fellow peers and I find this trend to be counterproductive to the district's mission to capture kids' hearts and form strong relationships between students and teachers. We ask, why are we spending money on training to help form these connections when the teachers we make connections with won't be around next year? 2 of our teachers being let go, one of them actually isn't a teacher, it's a counselor, Ms. Vanderweel. I can say with extreme confidence I have never felt more of a connection with any of my counselors. I remember one day, it was a quiz in math, and I got very bad test anxiety. I was sweating. I was barely able to control my breathing or my hands from shaking. I wasn't able to articulate myself. And so what did I do? I did what most students did. I went and I saw my counselor. I remember walking in there and seeing her sitting in her office. She asked me how I was. Barely able to speak, I sat down, panting, breathing heavily, feeling a heavy weight on my chest. I remember very clearly that she simply just grabbed my hand and looked me in the eyes and said, "Benjamin, we're going to get through this. You're going to be okay." And after I, you know, got out what was bothering me, we set up a plan. And through executing that plan, not only has my confidence grown in testing, but so have my scores. And really, I understand that it's the assembly that gets to decide how much budget goes into the district, but I would just like us to remember that when organizing the budget, what really makes a difference is students and teacher connection. And no matter how many new textbooks we get, it won't really make that much of a difference unless we have our teachers with us to help us succeed. Thank you.
Next, Darjan Gim.
Good evening, I'm Darjan Gim. Good evening, members of the school board, Dr. Goyette, and members of the community. I wanted to take a minute or three of your time to extend a thank you. Thank you to the board and Dr. Goyette for recognizing the important and vital role music plays in children's education. My thank you tonight is really twofold. I am the current president of Palmer Music Boosters, and 2 weekends ago, we held the 3rd annual Valley Jazz Festival at Palmer High School. Jazz Fest is a 2-day clinic intensive event offered to middle and high school students from across the state. Both days culminate in concerts bringing together students, guest artists, and even our local music directors. We had over 16 schools in attendance, and all but 3 represented the Valley. Positive feedback from music directors, invited clinicians, and guest artists, parents, and students was overwhelming, and the 3rd annual Valley Jazz Festival was a huge success. With that, I must acknowledge that this could not have been achieved without the continued support of you, the board, Dr. Goyette, and the school district. Music, unfortunately, is just not one of those areas that is a big sponsorship draw. We don't have the big scoreboards, the lighted signs, the fences to hold the thank yous and applause year-round, so it's just history has shown we just don't necessarily bring in that support, even before these leaner times and tighter budgets, as you can imagine. So, for example, in the 3 years that we've offered the festival, our community sponsorship in year one was about $5,600. We had a very thriving parent booster, music boosters group. Last year was about $1,100, and this year rounded up to about $3,600. This year, we were able to enhance our music festival and bring clinicians up for our middle schoolers, which was a huge success. It was really important that those young students also see that we really support them and being able to be educated by talented musicians just to see what they can do and what their future could hold. So as you can see, your continued support is critical to the continuing success of this festival. And as a wrap-up, I want to take a moment to also extend a personal thank you as a mother. I have 2 girls that have become immersed in the music world. I have watched confidence grow in both as they take skills learned in music and apply them to everyday life lessons. For my oldest, it was as if she found herself freshman year performing at Palmer High School Music Review with Stan Harris. She woke up one day and things were different, and I honestly, as a mother, I could literally see that change. She found a group of friends that supported her unconditionally and a group that supported her gift and let her know it was okay to be one of those geeky music theater loving kids. And of course, it all came down to a teacher that showed her what she could accomplish through hard work and all in a safe, loving environment that allowed those kids that needed to find that voice without those judgments. For me, my youngest also rings true when she's trying to muddle through middle school, and her music teacher, Mr. Losher, has been paramount to her success and learning her skills and thriving. So again, I really want to applaud you as you keep music and specials at the forefront of MSBSD education. Had I been one of those music kids, I probably could have wrapped this up with fancier, colorful, funner words for you. But just as a layman, I really do thank you from the bottom of my heart. And we have a thank you from the Jazz Festival for each of you tonight as well, just as a small token. On behalf of Barb Carroll, the Palmer High Music Director, and the Festival Coordinator Extraordinaire.
Is there anyone else in the audience who would like to come forward and speak on any non-agenda item at this time? Okay, seeing none. I don't see anyone here from the cities of Wasilla or Palmer, so we will move on to administrative reports. I'll turn it over to Dr. Goyette.
Thank you. Well, as we're going through, we're in verse reporting to you on your five board goals, and each board goal, you'll know it's aligned to the number of school board meetings that are left in fiscal year 18. So today is board goal number 4, and the objective is to include families and community members in the education of our youth. And Luke Fulp will begin the presentation and hand it off to Amy Spargo, and then I'll wrap it up.
Thank you, Dr. Goyette, President Dearman, and members of the school board. I am going to just briefly cover business and operations and our portion of board goal number 4. It is limited to just 3 objectives, so it'll be brief. We spent some time this fall updating the school board on some of the initiatives that we are undertaking to include families and community members in the education of our students. And with business and operations, it's really isolated to a single platform. It's our website. So our support for that website and some of the content that we've built into it is really what I'm going to cover tonight. And then as Dr. Goyette stated, I'll turn it over to Assistant Superintendent Spargo to talk about more of the ways instruction is reaching out to our families and community members. I'm just going to start with a brief overview. We made district website improvements. Those occurred. They were very visible to the public. That started with site design over the course of the summer and a thoughtful implementation schedule to where it didn't occur at the very beginning of the school year, but we delayed it to October so that the school year could begin and people would understand where things could be found and navigate according to what they were accustomed to. And then in October, we started with the new website, and it's been a success this year, rolling out with that website and its additional features. We also have new content on our pupil transportation webpage. This really helps the public navigate where their bus stops are, what they can, different apps they can use, web apps they can use. They have more information accessible to them for bus stop requests and the process around that, and just a myriad of resources. And we really intended to beef up that page in terms of content to help us with just phone calls and regular requests or frequent requests that we receive from parents. And then lastly, we added a web page that is really specific to partnerships with the Matsuburo School District. So this speaks to kind of a myriad of ways in which private enterprise or even individuals could contribute and partner with the Matsuburo School District to help support our programs. So again, the first slide we have here is really just an overview of the website. It speaks to that timeline for October, and then just some of the additional features being more responsive, allowing for ADA compliance and improved messaging capabilities for our families. I believe Ms. Spargo will be speaking to some of those functionalities in her presentation. With the transportation site, we spoke about it previously, just the flow chart for bus stop requests. So that is a process that we are engaged in regularly. We have a flow chart that's on the website that helps parents understand some of the reasoning and decision making that we have on our side that aligns with Alaska Administrative Code, in which we have to adhere to. So it gives them different decision points and helps them understand how they might navigate understanding whether or not a bus stop request would be approved or denied for a new bus stop in their area. And then also information on contractors, who to call when, new boundary maps that we worked with the borough and their GIS department on. So those are very specific and have a lot of drill down capabilities. And then we're currently working on updating the pupil transportation handbook. So this objective here is not 100% complete by, but however, at the end of the fiscal year, we believe that all of these items will be met. The previous one on the website, of course, is complete. And then lastly, the webpage for kind of one-stop shopping for partnering with the Matsuburo School District. It's located under our About Us tab. It's a new page that is featured there. So again, this objective is complete. You can go to it currently. It's live. And really, the overall message that we're conveying is Matsuburo School District is good for business. So we kind of have a highlight there that in the 2016-17 school year, which is the last year of audited data that we have, Over half of all of our purchase orders district-wide were to Alaskan vendors, and of these, 63% were to Mat-Su Borough vendors, totaling just over $19 million or nearly $19 million of spending. So these would be direct purchase orders to companies. This would not include our P-card activity, which is our procurement card activity, which of course is the majority of that is local as well. So we're letting folks know that we are heavily invested in the borough and that we're good for business here in the borough as well. Other opportunities to support and partner with the district include student learning opportunities and then partnerships with specific schools. And we follow a business alliance model that we've done for years out of the CTE department. So that's also here and hosted on this webpage as well. We have a sponsorships at matsuk12.us for anyone to email if they want to know more about partnering with us. And then a big part of this is charitable contributions as well. The state has that Alaska's Education Tax Program for tax credits for different corporate and state taxes. And we have a flyer and information on how we could receive monetary contributions for our educational program. So all of that is there on the webpage. And again, this is live, so this objective is also complete. But that really rounds out my presentation. If there's any questions, I could take those now or later, I suppose. Thank you.
Good evening, Dr. Dearman, Dr. Goyette, members of the board. The Office of Instruction kind of picks up where business services left off with regards to including families and community members in the education of our students. As an overview, we really see increasing engagement as starting with communication. So our objective primarily was around communicating both choice options and helping parents get more engaged in student progress. The four big areas that we focused on were the school website consistency, and I'll talk about that, promotion of choice via media, special events, and there were a lot of events that I saw you at, and I want to thank you for supporting our kids and our efforts there, and then increasing awareness of using iParent and iStudent. So this year, our engagement really started with our school websites. We heard at the board retreat that there were concerns that while we had all kinds of good options and things going on, that there was worries that parents didn't know about them and that we weren't getting our stories out there. So we really worked on how to highlight the choice options in the district. We divided up, after the new websites went live, we divided up all the websites and audited them and gave feedback to schools about where there were areas that they could improve, made sure that there was consistency between schools with regards to calendars and special events and ways for parents to connect with staff. And we saw a lot of gains in that area. We also divided up all the community meetings, the Chamber of Commerce meetings, and went to those events and really talked to people and made connections there, chose our spotlight minutes to talk about all of our choice options. We talked at realtor meetings and Rotary meetings and really got the word out that way. We had booths at the Mat-Su College job fairs. We had booths at the block party and different community events where we could highlight all of our choice options. One of the best things that's happened this year is we've partnered with Jillian Morrissey a lot and have highlighted special programs on Radio Free Palmer and have had some really interesting interviews and gotten good feedback from that. And one of the benefits of that is we can post those links and they become live or ways that we can keep telling that same story. Mass notification and our app have been super helpful, especially including the tip line on the app. Social media, we've done some training with the schools on how to effectively use social media and help coach them up when there's been some issues and really set the expectation that if you're not communicating with social media through your school, from your school, that that's a way that parents and kids are receiving information and that's something we want to help you with. This is an example of one of our new site websites, and just want to show that we have links to all of our district-wide clubs and programs on every website. So not only can you find district-wide programs through our district site, but if you happen to attend a school, you can go through your own school website and find out what's happening there. We also have all the calendar events and have audited and made sure those are all current and up to date. On the district's new website, we have a special program programs page for academic choice programs so that any parent who's coming and wants to know what's out there or a student that's out there, we have all those links to those where those programs are located, and you can research that on the homepage. This is probably the most new addition. It's a place to start if you are new to our district and you want to find out what choice options are out there for you from the very beginning. And you can look up your, as Mr. Phelps said, you can look up your boundary school on the bus section, and then you can go here and find out what options are available if you at that school or at other schools in the district. Part of our goals is telling you all these great stories of the things that went really well, and sometimes we have to be quite frank and say things that didn't go as well. So we promoted iParent at principal meetings, at PD opportunities. We put out things in the fall and on our social media, and we still are not happy with our results for how many parents and students are accessing. This represents grades 3 through 12 because, of course, in K through 2, they're not really inputting grades and assignments yet. And we wouldn't expect K through 2 students to be checking on their progress. But we have a ways to go here. And one of the things we're most excited about with our new student information system that's coming is that the parent and student progress monitoring is more intuitive. It's a little easier to access. And we're hoping that it is a way that more parents will be engaged. And there will be a big training process that will encompass the whole district, and we hope to see this gain, but we won't give up. Next year, we are going to focus on iParent for one more year and hope to see some higher numbers. A new idea this year was the high school information fair that happened in November. I'll be honest, we weren't real confident that this was going to go off as well as it did, but it turned out lots of people were interested in choice at the secondary level. And what we were most excited about was our district-wide CTE programs had a large presence there, and it was a chance for parents to see that even if you attend your home school, your boundary school, you could still take advantage of a lot of the activities that are available either at CTHS or at each of the magnet programs in the high schools. Lastly, my favorite comment I heard at the kindergarten night, where it was packed, this is at Iditarod Elementary, one of the little students called it a kindergarten party. And so it was a kindergarten party, and there were readiness kits given to all the families that came in. I know we got one in our house and had been using them ever since then. It was a great time to celebrate, and you can see the booth there for Blended. That's an example of how our district-wide programs showed up everywhere there were people, and that we were signing people up and building capacity for them to know what their options were. That's the communication plan kind of in a nutshell. I'm open to any questions.
Member Rutherford?
I just want to praise things like school cash online, because that's been pretty new since we've been in the district. And in the beginning, we would have to send checks in with little kindergartners, and that just didn't go well. And that school cash online is really wonderful. I did have a question, though, about that, about it. And it's my understanding that the schools, as they enter things that you can pay for, whether it's a school T-shirt or a activity fee or whatever it is, or yearbook, is it true it's also the school's responsibility to enter what students those things are open to, like what by ID number? Because, like, if I want, why couldn't my student go buy a Houston High sweatshirt if he wanted one? But it's, they don't open. Well, I just noticed that some schools open, anybody can look at everything they have on cash online and pay for, buy anything from that school. And other schools, only students with an ID number in their school can see the things that you can pay for there. And maybe there's a good reason for that, I don't know. But when we wanted to buy something from another school, we couldn't access it.
That's a great question. Can we look into that? And we'll get it into next Tuesday's Board Connect for you so we can have a more complete answer around it.
Member Larson.
I don't know if this is right terminology, but when you were talking about school websites, each school, is there a platform, or are they pretty consistent between all the schools? I haven't gone through them all, but I mean,
So with the new website that was rolled out, there was a template for each of the schools. And so they do look, they can change what they put, and they can change the photos that are there, but the format is very similar. And then they've all been audited to make sure that even if you arrange your tabs differently or you arrange where your different pages are located, that it's still all there. So there's a calendar, there's contact information, there's program descriptions, those kinds of things. So there is much more consistency. I want to commend Justin Ainsworth and his EdTech team. They spent a lot of time scouring those websites and then literally going out to schools and providing PD to kind of bring them up to speed.
Now the charters don't fall into that, or do they?
Charter schools
did. They were audited as well.
Were they?
Member Trimmer?
Do you have any information on how current the teachers are now keeping iParent? Because I know for me, out of frustration, I finally just stopped looking because one teacher would have it updated, but the other kid's teacher wouldn't. And so I'm more interested in that. I think that maybe some of our loss has been because it wasn't current a lot of times.
And, you know, as per board policy, it's two assignments per week. And I think that's a great question that we could easily run a data report for that and just see what percentage of teachers are actually doing that. We are in the habit of every quarter, we get out to principals D's and F charts for principals to be able to talk with their teachers about. And that is something that we could very easily include in that as just a constant reminder of making sure that we're giving that, you know, ongoing feedback and immediate feedback.
Can I add something to that? We recognize that that's an ongoing issue, and one of the things that when Dr. Goyette was in the Office of Instruction, she was part of the Danielson model, our new evaluation, and they added record keeping as a required element so that principals, when I was a principal, I appreciated having a strand specific to being able to address when grades were not input. So that was in response to that need a couple years ago, yeah.
Member Rutherford.
Just another quick bit of praise on that website. What a huge improvement. The consistency is what we were lacking before. Every school was doing their own thing, and it was very difficult to find information. And now it's generally speaking the same place everywhere, and I just think it's fantastic. Also, the people who maintain it, when it first rolled out this fall, they were great about anytime I found a little broken link or a weird little thing, I emailed it, and it was fixed, like, in an hour. So that transition to that new website went so much better than I thought. Probably the only lag was on individual teacher pages. Mm. Of course, they probably didn't have time for quite a while, but they had a lot of broken links because they were pointing to the old web page, and that is still a little glitchy on some teacher web pages. But and also, finally, I have personally noticed, at least in the school I deal with, big improvement in the last 2 years in teachers updating iParent. I've had no issues in the last 2 years compared to before that. All the assignments are out there, and they're usually out there right away. So I do think that part's getting better.
Right, and so Ms. Spargo will be bringing up the third portion, which is the Office of the Superintendent and a lot of goals around the Public Information Office. And we've just been thrilled to have Jillian Morrissey on board with us this year. Her understanding of social media and how to communicate, I think, has greatly increased the number of goals that we have. one of our big goals, and partly was the change in superintendent leadership multiple times within the year, was really to build relationships with our borough, our city legislators, and our delegation. And so one of the things that we did this year that I think has been really effective is we assigned people to the borough, to the chambers, and to city council meetings. students, and they go regularly. So they built a relationship there, and they have a presence, and I think that's really helped when they have questions maybe on breaks or things, and allowing us to have a more consistent, positive presence. We also started a quarterly update for our elected officials. We'll be releasing our third quarter information here soon. So we're trying to get them more timely information. We've talked about demographics with them and achievement data. And, of course, we'll be sharing our GFOA external review with them. Our legislative tour, I thought, was a great success. We were really excited about that, including all of our city and local delegation as well. We're looking forward to next year and showing them a wide range of elementary, secondary, traditional, non-traditional schools. And one of the things that we're really trying to do is build capacity within our principals for going out and working with our legislative and elective officials. So this spring we took our first cohort of 10 principals down to the AXA fly-in last week in Juneau, and that was a tremendous opportunity. We were really pleased with the feedback that we got from the principals on that opportunity. So one of the biggest goals that we've had, of course, as the board has put for us, is with really the decrease in funding or status quo funding, really trying to educate people in the community that it is a great return on investment, that and what our needs are moving forward. And so, of course, the board had the sales tax resolution that they passed. So really in the last 9 months, we worked very hard on the sales tax campaign. Then the sales tax committee, which turned into a school funding formula committee. And last night, the borough approved a 5-year forwarded funded ordinance. It's a new ordinance in which by February 1st, we will get our funding amount. It is 6.3 mils, and the board, of course, asked for 6.5. This is historically where we've been funded. So it is lower than we had hoped, but it is growth and inflation proofed. So as the value of property taxes increases, the school district will receive a proportionate share of that. So we were pleased through that. And last, we've really been trying to, communication has been a goal of the board. And so we've been working, and thanks to Jillian's work, we are out on Facebook doing those Facebook Live events. And both of them, we've had over 2,000 viewers for the school safety and the budget open house. And just trying to seek a lot more feedback from our community and from our families and from our staff. And so right now, of course, we have the school safety survey that's open. So with that, we're happy to answer any questions that you might have about board goal number 4.
Thank you, Dr. Goyette, Mr. Fulp, and Ms. Bargo. Thank you very much. We will move on now. And I guess this is supposed to be a happy moment to the Student Advisory Board Representative report from Mr. Michael, but I'm not happy as it's Mr. Michael's last meeting. Seems like you just arrived. Does it? Well, yeah, it feels that way for us too. I can only tell you, Charlie, you have been quite a breath of fresh air, for me at least. And your humor is amazing. Your delivery and presentation are delightful. And I know I speak for all of us when I say you will be greatly missed. I wish you a wonderful senior year. And I know that the road ahead of you is just waiting for all of that wonderfulness that you have, and you're going to go out and do amazing things. And we thank you for everything you've done for us. And on that note, go ahead and dazzle them with your report.
I don't know how I can follow that. I'll start with Wasilla High's Fun Run, which is this Saturday. And there's proms all over the place, so if you feel it is appropriate for you to go to that, go to it. There's also concerts. My band teacher, Miss Carroll, was just here. Most important of these, in my opinion, is No More Matt as the Rock the Resilience concert, which is run by the Wasilla Sunrise Rotary in partnership with No More Matsu, which is a concert to raise awareness for domestic violence and sexual assault in our community. 1 in 3 women in the Matsu Valley will be a victim of domestic violence or sexual assault at some point. So this is a great organization. There are people from all over the school district that will be performing there or speaking there. So highly recommend you go. Tomorrow, in Anchorage, our student advisory board and Anchorage's student advisory board will meet together at King Career Center from 9 until noon. Then Tuesday, in this room, student advisory board will have its last meeting. Emily will get her official swearing in, but we'll get to that in a minute. And a week from tomorrow, the Alaska Association of Student Governments Conference starts at Tri-Valley. So as Dr. Dierman touched on, this is my last meeting. You can see from the genetically similar people in the third row. Two weeks from today is Emily Gage's first meeting. You want to walk over there? Emily Gage is a junior at Colony High School. She is the current chair of the Curriculum Committee for Student Advisory Board and sat this past year on the Curriculum Council as a student rep. She has done a great job all throughout SAV. She's always there doing what she needs to do. And all the initiatives from this year that Student Advisory Board have talked about have been coming from her and the people she's been working closely with. So I think she'll do a great job, and I wish her well. Thank you.
And now I'll turn it back over to Dr. Goyette for the superintendent report.
Thank you. So I would like to share an update. So last night, as I said, the assembly had passed 6.3 mils. And this year we were funded at 6.28 mils. So next year at 6.3, it's about 2.5 million more than we got in this year's funding. We are appreciative of the forward funding and the additional funds. We do want to make sure that we don't lose sight of the fact that we have historically been funded around 6.5 mils and just this last year declined to 6.2, 6.3. And so this is really just a maintenance of that reduction in funding. So I think that the assembly was quite clear that this was the floor that they were directing the manager to build in by February 1st and be assured of that level of funding. But I believe that we will still need to advocate in future years for the fiscal deficit that we'll be experiencing. And so just as a reminder, then we had built into our budget 6.5 mils. And so with 6.3, it means that we need to cut an additional $1.8 million from the budget. We will be bringing forward budget revisions to the board the last meeting in May to be approved the first meeting in June. And so we will be waiting, hoping we'll be testifying in the morning on Representative Guerra's House bill that is an increase of $100 to the BSA. So that is still out there, and there is a chance that we may get some funding. We'll be testifying to the Senate Education Committee tomorrow morning. So hopefully within the next couple weeks, we'll know what state funding is and then be able to see what portion of reserves we might want to recommend to the board or if we need to make additional cuts. And so just as a reminder, we did increase grades 3 through 12 this year by an additional amount. And of course, as you heard from GFOA, and as we have known, we have the highest PTR rates in the state. And so, as you heard from some of the students very eloquently tonight, it really is to the point where it's really compromising the number of course offerings that schools can offer, and also the relational time that teachers can be spending with their students. So On to some more positive things. Our student achievement is certainly not suffering, despite the fact that we have declining budgets, and we know that our students are coming in with more needs. We're having higher levels of students with behavior support, higher levels of students in poverty, and this is our MAP data from the fall. And what it shows is that in second grade, our students are performing around the 40th percentile. So if you lined up 100 school districts, our second graders would be 40th. And then by 10th grade, we have moved them as a grade level average 20 percentiles points. It's really quite significant achievement. Next year, we're going to be testing students down through kindergarten. We suspect that our data will show that we're probably entering around the 30th percentile. And while we're very pleased with that, we still want to make progress. And so we believe that it's quite possible next year. In kindergarten, we'll be looking at data in the 30th percentile. And by 10th grade, we will be getting them to the 65th percentile, moving them 35 percentiles in their K-10 education. And we also know that we have a gap in sixth grade in mathematics. We believe it is a curriculum gap. It's not a cohort of students. It is persistent as students move through. Sometimes there will be students that are a higher achieving class or a lower. We don't believe it's a teacher efficacy issue. We believe that it's a curriculum. So we're going to be looking at that and look to mitigate that in sixth and seventh so that hopefully we can see higher overall through high school. So I always like to end on some positive notes of things happening in our schools. And this week I had the pleasure of dropping by a drop-by Career and Tech to just get on their schedule. The Commissioner of Education has asked to do a tour of the building. And I got to see Principal Mark Okeson showed me, this is in Mr. Halfacre's class, but these students designed an addition at Career and Tech, a third edition. As you know, they usually have double the amount of applicants as slots. And so really trying to honor parent choice and hopefully in the future when we bond again, maybe being able to look at expand the school and meet the needs of where our students want to go. And so they designed blueprints in architecture class, and now they're building scales. And it was fascinating, the two different approaches. They think they'll be done with the first and second floor next fall and hope to come here and present it to you. So wouldn't that be amazing if we went to bond on a design that was done by our students? I was thrilled with this. And finally, we just really want to thank member Michael for his participation. This is a huge time commitment, and the board has a present for you for all of your time. And we really thank you and wish you all the best on your new adventures. So that wraps up. So that's our good thing, Charlie Michael, today. And we welcome Emily. We cannot wait to get to know you better and know you're going to do a wonderful job as well.
I'm going to recognize Member Larson.
Mr. Michaels, you still owe me something. Hopefully you can get it to me eventually. That's the 10. You remember what that was? Okay. If you can't get it to me, you can pass it on to the next. When she walks in next year, I hope to see that, okay? Thank you. What I asked Mr. Michaels to get for me is the adult level of how to social network in a moral and ethical way instead of like adults do, yelling and screaming at each other. Because we teach how not to bully in high school and grade school and middle school, but at the same time, the adults are bullying each other online. So Mr. Michaels is going to work on that for me, correct? Thank you.
Sounds good to me.
Will someone please move the consent agenda, which consists of the minutes of April 4th, 2018,
and special education new hires.
I move the consent agenda, the minutes of April 4th, 2018, and the special education new hires.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there any objection? Seeing none, we will now move on to the two action items. Will someone please move action item A, out of country travel, Ireland?
I'll move action item A, out of the country travel, Ireland.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded. Do we have an admin report? There is no admin report. Would anyone in the public like to comment on this one? Does the board have any comments or discussion on this? No? Okay, we can vote then. Okay. That item passes unanimously. Will someone please move action item B, out of country travel, Japan?
I move action item B, out of country travel, Japan.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded. I believe we had an admin report last meeting. Would anyone in the audience like to make comment on this? Seeing none, is there any comment or discussion from the board? Mr. Michelson.
Just noticed school activity funds under revenue sources at 1747. And is that... was that a fundraised amount that went through student activities, or is that, like, where did that money come from?
Member Michael, can I get that to you in the Board Connect on Tuesday? Reese Everett is traveling back from doing an external audit in a school district and can answer that question. So we will get that answer for you.
Are there any further questions? Okay, seeing none, we will vote. That too passes unanimously, and we will now take a 10-minute break. We will now begin with non-action item A, social studies curriculum approval. Do we have an admin report, please?
We do have an administrative report. It's my pleasure to bring Tracy Peterson, Executive Director of Instruction, up. This was an item that was before the board last June, and there were questions about, really, had we vetted this through all of our local community groups? And so Ms. Peterson has worked on this with her staff for the past three quarters of a school year and is here to give you an update and submit it for your approval.
Red light. Good evening, Dr. Dierman, Dr. Goyette, board members. I'm happy to be here tonight to talk about our social studies curriculum revision and updates that we've been working on this year. And I think just to give a little bit of history of where we are and how we got to where we are right here tonight is you all know that we do a six-year curriculum review cycle, so all of our subjects come up every 6 years. And so last year was the social studies year for curriculum review. And you guys looked at the first reading of this social studies curriculum on your June 6th meeting. And you remember that was a time of some transition in our district, and we had a new curriculum coordinator come on board. And you guys had some really excellent questions that we just weren't prepared to answer. And I actually want to thank you for giving us an opportunity to go back and look. Specifically, you asked us questions about how we reviewed our curriculum for bias, and also what type of stakeholder input we sought outside of the school district. So that's what we did, and that's what I want to tell you a little bit about tonight. So I'm going to briefly review the process and steps that were taken to include stakeholder input and review for bias specifically in our Alaska history curriculum and our U.S. history curriculum. So I think a good place to start, and this kind of sets some context for what we'll talk about, is with the shifts in social studies that we see, specifically with our new ELA standards and how they inform our social studies standards. You've heard, I know, prior to tonight about our Alaska Standards for Literacy that were adopted, the ELA standards were adopted in 2012, and there are standards within that ELA, those ELA standards for history and social studies. And just like we saw with literacy, reading and writing, we saw that emphasis on rigorous learning and informed inquiry. So that's really the shift in our social studies as well. And I'm going to talk a little bit tonight about what that really looks like. So that focus on ELA skills becomes important just as well as content. And content is still there very much in our social studies curriculum. So those state standards informed our curriculum review process, as well as the National Council for Social Studies C3 framework. And what that those three C's are college, career, and civic life. So this curriculum is aiming to prepare students for those things. It's exactly what we want to be doing. And they do it through what they call the inquiry arc. They look at four dimensions of informed inquiry in social studies, and it probably looks familiar because I think that's a lot of very similar to what you guys do as school board members. That's what we want our students to be doing, being able to develop questions, plan inquiries. Sometimes teachers are doing those things. Often students are developing their own questions. Applying disciplinary concepts and tools, evaluating sources and using evidence, very important with those new ELA standards, and communicating conclusions and taking informed action. That's kind of the inquiry arc that much of these changes are based on in our curriculum. So I think it's also really good to start by looking at our social studies curriculum mission statement. Give you a second just to kind of look at that. And I think hopefully you would agree that this mission statement really supports our district mission of preparing all students for success. And it's by doing things like thinking critically, valuing diversity, analyzing issues, and of course, deepening knowledge and understanding of history. So we kind of achieve that mission in our district through this entire scope and sequence. So kids who are with us from kindergarten through high school, this is kind of what their social studies education looks like. We start with our littlest learners, our kindergartners, and they're learning about themselves and their families. Excuse me. And then that just expands throughout primary school, learning about their school, learning about their community, learning about the borough, learning about the state of Alaska. And our oldest elementary students, our fifth graders, they get an introduction to U.S. history. When students get to middle school, we're expanding into some world history, and then that, of course, continues on into high school. More world history, and of course, U.S. history, Alaska history, U.S. government, U.S. history, and civics. So for this curriculum review, we focused on our middle school and high school. I just kind of let you look at what the requirements are in high school. And these were all curricula that were reviewed by writing teams last year. Last year, we had 17 middle school and high school teachers come together. They met several times. As you can see, they really were well represented. Most of our middle schools and high schools were well represented with that group. You saw the documents that they brought forward last year. We went back after great input from the board, and we did seek input from some of our other stakeholders in our community, and specifically from our tribal partners. So we started with email, but we talked to or even met with, in the case of Chickalin Village Traditional Council, we met with representatives like their education director and actually director of the tribe and got input from them. And I want to report back to you guys that every piece of feedback I got was that they were thrilled to be asked. And so we've got a big takeaway from that, that we need to continue to reach out to those partners. So again, thank you for that. We had a team of seven social studies teachers and federal program staff, and I really just want to thank Mr. Shambly and the federal program staff for their input on our Alaska history and U.S. history curriculum. And we really went through it with a fine-tooth comb. And I am happy to say we didn't find what we would consider a lot of bias, but there was some, and I want to just give you an example of some of the of some essential questions that were changed. So we had a question in that original Alaska history curriculum that was, why did Europeans view the indigenous people they encountered as inferior? And we went back to the Alaska history standard, and we think we created a better question that's much more tied to the standard and doesn't have what we consider to be bias. We said, how did Eurocentric attitudes of superiority affect the interactions between Europeans and Alaska Native cultures? So it's kind of a subtle shift, but, you know, bias can be really subtle, you know? And so we look for things like that. There was another one about something about mapping or identifying Alaska's exploitable resources. And we, that was brought forward as that could be really kind of biased. Like, Alaska's more than just a place with exploitable resources. Why aren't we just mapping and identifying resources in Alaska? So we just made a few changes like that. So if you still have the old document, you could compare it to this new one. But we feel like we did a pretty good job of identifying those areas and also just really fleshed it out, that especially that U.S. history curriculum, we didn't have that many examples. So we added more examples to our objectives there. So so in addition to making those revisions, just for this whole process, this is basically what we worked on, updating the formatting on each framework, including the Alaska Standards for Literacy and History and Social Studies, and those C3, that College, Career, and Civic Life Standards, from the National Council of Social Studies. And then we made sure that all of our objectives were vertically aligned, so that, think back to that scope and sequence slide where students from kindergarten through 12th grade are not having a lot of repeat. And boy, you get some social studies teachers together and they're like, well, I have to do the Civil War. Well, our curriculum is designed so that we start post-Civil War, because you can't learn about the Civil War every year. We've got lots of, imagine all the history just in your own lifetime. So we've got to be really clear about that vertical alignment. So next steps for us, we're still working on the blueprints. So I've been talking about the framework, which is really the what of what students are learning. The blueprints are more of the timelines and materials are included, assessments are included. So we're still working on those, and we actually have some teachers that are going to come into SAMS. They'll be coming in for credit. They're going to have time to collaborate, plan for implementation of the new curriculum, and we plan to roll out this new curriculum with our secondary social studies teachers and administrators in the fall. So in the slides, I have further slides here with more of the standards if you want to look at those, but that's really all I have for you at this time, and I'll be happy to answer any questions about this process and our products.
Member Walton?
I actually don't have any questions. I do want to congratulate you and say how wonderful this is. I actually printed off all of the documents and read them, and also had my spouse look at them. He has his undergraduate degree is history, and he was just really impressed. And of course, he went to school in the Dark Ages, so it's there. But I wanted to say the civics document, one of the things that stood out for me is that we hear an awful lot of people talk about, you know, it's our right, but there's also responsibilities, and I was really impressed with that. And that stood out for me. And the work that you put into, or the team put into, for the examples was just phenomenal. Thank you.
Thanks. Member Michelson?
I too would like to thank you for the work on this this year. I probably didn't take as thorough a look at it as maybe Dr. Welton did, but I could see where indigenous people and the relationship between, you know, colonists and indigenous peoples kind of ran throughout a little bit. So I really appreciate you doing that and reaching out to our local tribes. I think it's hugely important. But my question is, a couple of slides ago, learning about the history of the borough. I can't remember what grade that was. That fourth?
Third.
Third grade. What does that consist of? And is there a pre-colonization of the borough area represented adequately there for Indigenous people?
Oh, good question. Do you want me to answer? I can try. I was just in an elementary school.
Yeah, do the best you can, and then we'll follow up and get additional information for you.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm going to say that Indigenous people are probably covered much more in that fourth grade curriculum. That's a big part of the fourth grade curriculum. But I just know that teachers teach a lot about the formation of our borough, the organization of our borough, and they go out and do a few field trips. So,
Member Rutherford?
I had a question about pacing, and it's interesting that you mentioned that you used Civil War as an example, because so I'm currently pretty familiar with eighth grade social studies, mm-hmm. and it can be tough because there's conversations and there's, you know, history. There's a lot, there's just a lot to cover and a lot to talk about, and it's going to be tight. They're going to get to the Civil War, but they're not going to cover it very thoroughly because they are not going to have much time because they are not there yet, and we're almost at the end of the year. And the next U.S. history, which actually isn't for a couple years, right. but starts at Reconstruction. So I would hate for them to miss an in-depth discussion of the Civil War. How do you keep these classes on pace so that they get to that stuff?
You know, I know at Thielen Middle School, the end of eighth grade, Civil War was a huge part. They actually mm-hmm. did a mock simulation of it, and so it is been something that they've done a good job of mm-hmm. covering. Although I'm looking at it right now and see that it's gotten moved. So we'll look into that and okay. get those deeper questions as well.
Member Michael.
I was wondering, I have two things. First, I was wondering why they kept the big jump from 8th grade to 11th grade in regards to U.S. history, because I remember there being discussion about either moving the first part of U.S. history later or the second part of U.S. history earlier, so that, you know, you'd have your U.S. history closer together so you don't forget all yep. about early stuff when you're getting to the late stuff.
Well, you probably know this, Charlie. Not all high school students really take these in this order. So there is some flexibility for students. I will have to check to see if that discussion came up again with this curriculum writing group last year. I just don't have that information.
I just got one more. Remembering back to the student advisory board, I remember that middle schoolers' most important thing that they were talking about was document interpretation. So I just wanted to say thank you for putting all that in and making that a focus of all the different portions of all the different grades. So thank you for that. Thank you.
They did a good job.
Member Larson.
Thank you. I just want to make one comment. I appreciate you looking at all the whole curriculum for its bias or any bias and revising those questions, because and I know that our teachers are all teaching these courses are all from different colleges, most of them, a lot of different segments right. of the nation. If you look at our new hires, we're getting more and more from UAA now, but in the past it's every 50 state. So by taking it out of the curriculum, it allows all those diverse teachers to be able to teach the same stuff. Although everybody has their bias, I realize when they're teaching, right. but usually they don't fall too far from the curriculum. And I appreciate that, because that's what seems to be dividing in a lot of schools in the lower 48, is teaching and not teaching history as history, and then having philosophy and philosophical discussions for social studies or other areas. And I appreciate that. Thank you.
Member Rutherford.
So that brings up the discussion we also had when we first looked at this, was how, in addition to pacing, how, I guess you could say we shouldn't have to remind, but I do think that social studies is an area where, with the best of intentions, you can start inserting your own opinions when you're trying to teach it, and it's tough. So do we, I don't know, support teachers, give them some professional development, give them some reminders throughout the curriculum about keeping the discussion, you know, unbiased, keeping their own personal view, as ideally that kids should not even have any idea what their exactly. personal view is.
Member Rutherford, that's a great point. And I think that social studies is probably one of the hardest areas for teachers to keep their own view, usually in a political bent. And it's something that we really need to always make sure that we are weaving into professional development for them. And one of the things that's really grown tremendously over the last few years is the Summer Academy in Mat-Su. And so we almost always have specific for content areas and making sure that we include that. And you, I was just recently watching a documentary that really talked about being able to examine your own bias and what a challenging thing that is to do, to be able to kind of have that mirror of yourself. And so I think that that would be a great group of teachers to offer professional development for, to be understanding that, because it really is very challenging to teach about things and keep your point of view neutral in that.
Mr. Michelson.
Just a quick piggyback on that. I think there's a big difference between facilitation and teaching. I know in my DJJ days, when we would have groups of kids together, they would be always expecting to be taught something. And instead of teaching them right from wrong, would allow a facilitation to take place where they could develop that on their own without being the kind of the traditional student-teacher relationship, that it was really a facilitation. Yeah. But you really had to be patient with that over time and allow the group to kind of formulate and debate and to do that in a very civil manner. As well. So I just remember there being just a really, that was a hard concept though for somebody in the front of the class to really to kind of wrap their brains around, is the facilitation skills versus the actual teaching skills to allow some of that to take place. So
I would really agree. Deeper learning is harder and it takes more time to facilitate that with students.
Just if I may, just one more thing. Could you go back to the slide where you showed the stakeholder group that maybe reviewed.
Yep.
And there was the federal program staff. Who are they?
We worked a lot with Megan and, sorry.
our.
Yeah, our people. Yeah,
our,
we had
okay.
two teachers also, Barb Bodner, and, well, a teacher and another employee that's actually not a certified teacher.
Okay.
Aisha, sorry. It wasn't prepared with names, so.
That's fine. Thank you.
Member Larson.
Just to, I guess, follow up and repeat myself, I guess one of the best history teachers I ever had, let's take the Civil War, was teaching the Civil War, and from the perspective of 100, 120 years later, or modern times, as kids, we would have questions, and he would bring us back to what was going on at the time and the philosophical approach of what was actually happening 100 years ago, I guess. Holy cow, I'm getting old. 100 years ago, the Civil War. And what I'm saying there is he refused to let us take our viewpoints on the modern viewpoints and modern ethics and placing them back 100 and 150 years ago. And that's such a difficult thing to do when you're teaching history, not to put what is going on, your philosophical approach today from back then. Because I can tell you right now, if in the field of corrections, which I was in jails, if I would have done some of the stuff I did 40 years ago today, I would be in very big trouble. but that was the philosophy of the day.
Understood.
So I can't, I can't say that I was absolutely wrong in some of the ways the penal system worked back in 40 years ago, because that's the philosophy, that's the feeling, and that's the thought of the day. And in a 40-year period, things have progressed for the better to the point where we're at now. But you can't judge somebody for what was going on back there. And that's a tough thing to teach in history. And that's where the bias come in. When you say, well, 150 years ago, they did this and this and this, and relate it to modern day history. And that's where I think professional development can really help out. Because I'm not sure in our universities they teach that kind of thought or way of thinking. And then you come in with your modern day bias about 100, 200 years ago history, and that's tough to do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We will now move on to non-action item B, out-of-country travel, Galapagos. Do we have any? Oh, go ahead, Dr. Wyatt.
Yeah, so two staff and 12 students from Colony High School are going to be traveling to the Galapagos Islands from June 3rd to June 18th. They're going to be studying wildlife, island history, and ecology, and we're really excited. I don't think there's many opportunities when people have to go to the Galapagos Islands, and so we're excited to be bringing this forward to you, and we'll report out when they come back.
Would anyone in the audience like to make comment on this? Any comment or discussion from the board? All right, we will move on to C, FY19 University of Alaska Anchorage UAA contract approval for ANSEP Acceleration High School. Dr. Goyette?
Yes, so per board policy BP 3312, all contracts over $200,000 must be approved or ratified by the school board. We're pleased that we are growing our ANSEP program. This is the second year that it's located at Career and Technical High School. We believe that there'll probably be about 75 or 80 students in the program next year, and the program's operating at about $5,000 per student. And as you know, this is a dual credit program, so these students are accumulating many of their college credits, and so we're very excited about this program. We've had tremendous success in partnering with the University of Alaska and really targeting underserved populations. Of course, Native Alaskan American Indians are the priority, but there has been room, and ANSEP has been outstanding at helping us identify other students that could benefit from the opportunity.
Would anyone in the audience like to make comment on this? Any discussion or comment from the board? Mr. Michael.
ANSEP is housed at my school, and I just would like to speak highly of their program. We're all jealous of their pizza parties that they have, but I think they've integrated really well with the school, and I look forward to see what they're going to do next year. Thank you.
All three of these items will become action items at our May 2nd board meeting. Now persons to be heard on non-agenda items. Madam Clerk, do you want to remind folks of the rules, please?
Please state your name and you will have 3 minutes.
Is there anyone who would like to come in front of the board and speak on any non-agenda item at this time? Okay. Future items, future business, upcoming meetings. I don't have any. Oh, here they are. Wait a minute. I'm relying on the wrong thing. Here we go. Oh, all right. Now I'm with the program. May 2nd at 6 p.m., we will have a regular school board meeting that will be held at Denina Elementary School.
And on May 16th, we will have a regular school board meeting here at Central Office. Correspondence and board committee reports. Has anyone on the board received any correspondence or had a board committee that they would like to report on? No? All right. Now we're up to comments from school board and administration. Dr. Goyette.
Assistant Superintendent Spargo.
Thank you. I just want to wish Charlie the best and tell him that it's been a great year. And I also want to thank the board for their thorough review of the social studies curriculum. I just really admire your attention to detail and commitment to equity in our district.
Assistant Superintendent Fulp.
I too want to wish Mr. Michael Well, thank you for your service on the board. It's been a pleasure working with you. And I'm grateful that we're moving on through the budget process in the way that we are. Thank you.
I want to thank the students that have been in the audience today. And for any of you that are interested in growing your leadership skills, Student Advisory Board is how students end up having a seat on the school board up here. It's a great opportunity. And Charlie, we thank you for your service and wish you all the best.
Mr. Michael.
Last one. First of all, the not savvy stuff. I'd like to invite everybody again, both King Career Center, 9 to noon tomorrow, and then here, 9 to noon, for Student Advisory Board. So hope to see you guys there. Thank you. I'd like to thank everybody on the board, all the members of administration, for their work this year and allowing me to contribute to my school district in the best way that I can. I appreciate being given this opportunity, and I know that Emily Gage will serve the job well. I've seen her in Student Advisory Board working very hard to make the district a better place, and I cannot see any reason why that won't keep up. Thank you to Troop 300 for coming out, and that's all. Thank you very much.
Mr. Larson.
Thank you. I'll start out with kind of a sad aspect. I will not be attending any of the graduation, high school graduations, or the middle school promotions. The reason being, this is the first time since I've been on the board that my other board overlapped with our board run, our parole board run in Seward at Spring Creek Correctional Center in Wildwood. And this year, for some reason, we have so many hearings down there that I'll be traveling that whole week of high school graduation. I really regret missing those. And then the promotions the next week, since Senate Bill 91 came through, it's extended our parole so much that we have an additional 3 days to four the following week. So I think it's a total of up to possibly 85 or 90 hearings in those 8 days. So again, I apologize for not being able to make graduation this year. We set our calendars on that board every year, and what I'll do is what I did last time, is try to move that calendar away from our graduation week. But I'm only one board member on a five board member team, but hopefully we can do it. Charlie, it's good to, or Mr. Michaels, it's good to have you on this board. I expect those questions to be carried on in your endeavors in college, correct? Or where are you going?
I've got a year left of high school, actually.
Well, your year in high school, then on to college. It's like a growing period. I think you're carrying this on through, and when you get to college, you've sat on a board for a year. You know what it's like. And in college, if you can go to a university, I don't know which one you're going to go to, and hear both sides of a story and have that debate without getting angry, without getting upset, especially if a vote doesn't go your way. It's a tough thing to do, though. But it's something that you learned even on this board and saw on this board. And I think I wish I would have been in high school and had this opportunity. I think it would help me as well as anybody else. I appreciate the board goals, objective update on board goal 4. I really like seeing those presented and seeing what the work is being done by the district. It's a big wow. I really do appreciate it. Yeah, a lot of great things being done. And on the social studies curriculum, that's a tough thing, and I'm glad that we're tackling that. Nothing's perfect, but I think our curriculum is as close as you can possibly get as in any school district, and I do appreciate it. I really do. Thank you.
Member Ruth.
So I'd like to thank everybody for the presentations tonight and for the Palmer High School students with the for the jazz posters. These are pretty neat. And also congratulations to Emily and best wishes to you. I think you're going to do great things for a lot of people in the future.
Member Michelson.
Had the opportunity to go to the 7th grade art show for ceramics last week at Colony Middle and learned a little bit more about the artist in residence program that she applied for a grant with Ms. McMahon there, or so 3 weeks of professional development and kind of co-teaching and by an artist from Homer, and it was real impressive. So my thanks to Vanessa Powell for putting that on and then opening that up to the public. I appreciate also the music booster presentation today, reminding us of the inherent value of the arts and how important that is to well-rounded education. Also, thanks to the Boy Scouts for attending tonight. And so for Charlie, I appreciate most your intellect, but also your representation of other students in the borough and the always kind of entertaining dry wit and humor that you've always brought here to your presentation, which has, I think, helped us tremendously. So I appreciate that, and welcome to Emily.
Member Welton.
Well, I have a list of things, so I'll try to be really quick here. I want to thank Charlie for his attention to detail and his ability to work with all of the students as well as to work with us. Welcome to Emily. Let's see. I attended the Federal Programs Migrant Education Cultural Potluck and spent a little bit of time talking with people about the issues and things that are going on in the migrant programs. Went to the jazz festival for the first evening and watched kids. There was so many different schools, and they had two or three songs that they could do, and there was some really great work. And the old standards as well as some that were different. I really, really loved that. And I've been a jazz aficionado for 20-some years, and I really thought that they did a great job. I was at the Opioid Task Force last night for a little while, and then I went over to the borough meeting. I thank everybody who was at the borough meeting and those who testified. And I thank the borough assembly for at least looking at our plan and not, totally cutting things. Justice Coalition this morning, there was quite a few agencies that spoke of the things that they're doing at the end of the school year and some of their summer programs. So if there's some adolescents who have mental health issues, things like this, there's some programs for them and even for the younger kids. Let's see, Rotary The Noon Rotary Club has lots of scholarships still available. We don't have very many applications, so even though there's only just a few days left of the senior year, there are still scholarships out there if people can apply for those. And I want to thank you to the administration for putting together such a great packet on the history social studies curriculum. And when people say that we need to get rid of the administration or the administration's top heavy, I'm just thankful that we have the people we do, because you do an awful lot of work. Thank you.
Member Rutherford.
Charlie, we will be seeing you at Student Advisory Board, won't we? So I'm grateful for that. We have one more year to hear your thoughts on the great issues we face. Thank you to those very eloquent Palmer High School students for speaking. I was very impressed at the thoroughness, the understanding, sort of the grasp of the situation they had, the fact that they understood the borough's part in our funding and that they understood the whole capturing kids' heart and the reason for it. It was very impressive, and they represented us well. And I, as they were speaking, I was thinking, could we send them to Juneau to talk and say that? And also to the music boosters and the Palmer High music teacher who are here. I couldn't agree more. Thank you so much for all that work on the Jazz Fest. While we're thanking, thank you to the people who put on those middle school track meets. Second in chaos only to an elementary school track meet, I think, but fun and just huge. And we just had our first one, and I think there are a few more. But also the Palmer High School IB Art Show, something not to be missed. I believe it's still going on through the end of this week, if you have time to stop by Palmer High and see the IB Art Show. And looking at our graduation schedule, I want to thank Member Welton for stepping up, because Mr. Larson can't attend any, and I actually had quite a few conflicts this year and can only attend three when I usually attend a few more. So thank you, Member Welton, for attending so many, because you're going to be alone at a few of them. But I am looking forward to that. It's one of the most enjoyable parts of the job. Thanks.
Member Trimmer.
I want to thank Charlie for the year that he served, and it's been very impressive to see your ability to sit there and think things through before you say anything and deliver it in a very intelligent and educated way. And you're more than welcome to come and speak for 3 minutes to us at any time at any of our future meetings. And thanks to the Boy Scout troop for coming, Troop 300. As I say, when we generally get some younger visitors, this is where you can make a difference. Local government is where you can make a difference. And if you start here, then everything else doesn't seem so big or doesn't seem to matter as much. It still matters, but here is where you can make a difference and see it in your community. Thanks.
Thank you, Troop 300, for being with us this evening. Charlie, I wish you only the best and continued success. And due to the fact that I am failing quickly, I'm going to call it an evening. Will someone please make a motion to adjourn?
A motion we adjourn.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there any objection? We're adjourned.